Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord. So wonderful to have a family that will last forever. And I have a couple of other announcements that I missed, and I want to get to them real quick. The Clickus family writes, "Dear Living Hope Bible Church, we wanted to thank everyone who came, prayed, called. Your hugs and your words of encouragement. The love that was shown our family was incredible. My brother, his family, my mother were overwhelmed by the love and support of our church. We love you all and are so thankful for our forever family. Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity." Love the Clickus family. Amen. And you'll also notice that next week we begin the candidacy of Michael Tiberi to see if that would be God's will for associate pastor at our church. You'll notice the schedule, but please be praying for our dear brother, Mike Tiberi. God has knit his heart with ours, and we want to see if this would be the Lord's will. And then there is a deacons meeting on Tuesday at 7 p.m. And then finally, I missed one of the very important announcements. How many of you from time to time work in the nursery, somewhere in the nursery ministry? You are my heroes. I thank God for you all. And we do need some more nursery workers. We're looking for about 15 church members that are 15 years and older that would be able to work during the evening service. And praise God for the baby boom that has occurred. And we now need to help with those who are coming faithfully to the services. And so please sign up for that. There is a sign-up sheet at the Welcome Center. If you would look with me in the Word of God, everybody have a copy of the Word of God. If you don't, there should be one in front of you somewhere, and there should be an extra copy. But if you would turn to Matthew chapter 10, and we're continuing in our message this morning, how to be effective in ministry. Hudson Taylor, the famous missionary to China, once said, "There are three stages in the work of God: impossible, difficult, and done." What must be done for the Lord must be done by the Lord. Without Christ, we are powerless. We can do nothing in our own power that is of eternal value. Brothers and sisters, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And I don't know about you, but I want to present to the Lord a crown of gold, silver, and precious stones, not a paper hat of wood, hay, and stubble. If we are to see fruit in our lives, if we are to see eternal fruit, we must abandon our own plan. We must latch on to the plan of God, and we must hold on to the call of Jesus. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 5 through 15. Last week, we covered verses 5 through 7. This is the word of the Lord. Let's stand together as we read God's holy word. Beginning with verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, 'Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the labor deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The apostles were the original missionaries. They were the original church planters. They were trained by the greatest disciple maker in the history of the world, God himself. And they came to prepare a people to be harvested out of God's judgment. The harvest was what? Plentiful, but the laborers were few. And the instruction that Jesus gives these apostles has everything to do with us today. How will we bear fruit for eternity? Brothers and sisters, I want to commend to you this morning what we learned last week. First of all, that there must be a call from God. There must be a call from God. There must be a call of salvation. And then there must be a gifting by the Holy Spirit in the local church where you bloom, where you are planted. You must listen to that call. We learned that last week. The apostles, go ahead and turn the slide. The apostles were summoned by the Lord of glory. They had a call from the Almighty God. Brothers and sisters, do you think that the Lord loves you less than the apostles because you were born 2,000 years after them? His call is the same to you. Now, their office was unique, but their call is the same as our call, to be saved and then to go to a place. And their place was to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He says, don't go to the Gentiles. Don't go to the Samaritans. Was that because Jesus didn't love Gentiles? Remember, several centurions he spoke to. One, he healed his servant. And he said, I haven't even seen such faith in Israel. Remember the Samaritan woman at Sychar at the well. How he loved her. How he saved her soul. But this was the preparation that had been prophesied throughout the ages from the prophets in the Old Testament, that God would raise up the seed of Abraham to bless all nations. And this was what was occurring. There was a place for them to serve. And God has a place for every one of his servants to serve. Aren't you glad that you don't have to figure that out? Aren't you glad that before the foundation of the world, he called you, he fitted you to be fitly joined together in his local body? But he didn't leave them with only a call and a place. He gave them a message. And we learned last week that that was the message of the kingdom. The good news that the kingdom of heaven was near. It was at hand. It had come. The king prophesied from the ages past by the prophets was now on planet Earth, was on our soil, was in human flesh, and they were to proclaim that everywhere. What a joy that we're called by God, saints. What a joy that he has given us a place to serve. You remember that Paul thought he would go into Asia, further into Asia, and God changed the place of his calling and gave him the Macedonia call, and he went to Europe. Are you glad that God clarifies our call and he gives us a special place to serve and he gives us a message that will change people's lives? Well, I want you to look at verse 8 as we continue in this message and we look at our fourth point. The next thing that we see in this passage, if we're going to see God work in us and through us, is that we must not rely on our own abilities. We must have power from on high. Verse 8, Jesus commands his apostles heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. And so the apostles are doing the work and signs of apostles. They are doing signs and wonders. Now, these were not rabbis. These would not have been accepted among the people. They were not like the Pharisees and the scribes. These were uneducated men from northern Galilee. But they did these things to show that this message was from God. But notice the kinds of miracles that they did, saints. The kinds of miracles that they did. They could have done anything. They could have taken the temple that was in Jerusalem and moved it to Bethlehem. That would have been an amazing miracle, wouldn't it have? They had unfathomable power. They were in the stead of Jesus. And what kind of miracles were they called to do? Miracles of compassion. These miracles manifest the very character of God and the nature of his future kingdom on earth. You see, God did not invent sin. He is not the author of our iniquities. We have made a mess, haven't we? We have all contributed to it. And so on this earth, there is death, there is disease, there is strife, there is war, there are difficulties, there are misunderstandings continually. Aren't you glad there are no misunderstandings in heaven? Look at what was happening in Palestine. The invasion of the coming kingdom had arrived. And we see that through these miracles, they were to heal the sick. Because in the new heaven and the new earth, there will be no more sorrow or pain. There will be no more disease. They were to raise the dead because in the new heaven and the new earth, there is no death and dying. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? They were to cleanse the lepers because in the new heaven and the new earth, there are no outcasts. There is only the open arms of God. They were to cast out demons because in the new heaven and the new earth, Satan is utterly vanquished. Would you just say hallelujah? The coming kingdom will bring the removal of disease, the restoration of broken bodies, just as the Lord predicts in Isaiah 29, 35, 42, and so on and so forth. We see this in its beauty in Revelation 21. Would you look there? Revelation 21, in verse 5, Jesus says, "Behold, I am making all things new." He says previously in verse 3, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." Look at verse 4. "God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." Saints of God, often we might think that it would be amazing if we had the same powers as the apostles to raise the dead. Wouldn't that be something to heal the sick? Just to walk in a hospital ward, just touch the bodies and watch them be fully healed. To cleanse lepers. Today, maybe there would be things like cancer or AIDS and we would touch them and they would be whole. Or to cast out demons. But there is something far more important than the physical miracles. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 17 to the rich man that was burning in hell. Or was it Luke 16? He said, "Even If I sent you to go preach to your brothers, they would not believe. Because if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they would not believe even if someone was raised from the dead. You see, there's a greater miracle than healing the sick and healing the leper and raising the dead and casting out demons. That is the miracle of the new birth. And we have the power in the Word of God, through the work of Christ and by the Spirit, to continue the work of the kingdom and to bear fruit and to expand the kingdom right where we are with heavenly power. You have it. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you, saints. He's alive. He's not just alive in our imaginations. He's alive in your spirit. He's raised you from the dead. Can I just say, get out of your house. Get off of your couch. The world is perishing and we're playing with a new remote control. I'm telling you, we've got to experience the power of God. You say, where do I find that? Is there a book in your lap? Would you just hold it up? This is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Why aren't we using it? Have you forgotten your sword? This will set the captives free. Now, while we cannot raise the physically dead, God has called us to raise those who are dead in their trespasses and sins. And what a joy it was yesterday to be knocking on doors over at the apartments where we first met Corey Lalonde. And we had five guys there yesterday. What a joy. I pray that that just continues to multiply. I pray that there's so many people, we don't know what to do with it. That we go out evangelizing everywhere. By the way, we saw some other Christians from another church evangelizing there, and they weren't Jehovah's Witnesses. We were so thankful to meet them. And so God has called us to give the greatest miracle, the miracle that the Word of God affects on the human heart, that those who are dead in their trespasses and sins would be raised in newness of life to be seated in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ. Now, you might say that you might be rejected. And that is absolutely true. Those who heard the message, there were those among them that rejected the message. In fact, these who heard the message would one day crucify the Lord of glory. They would hang him on a cross and put him to open shame. These who saw the dead raised, that saw the lepers cleansed, that saw the demons fleeing from Palestine, as it were, they would crucify the Lord of glory. But I want to ask you a question this morning. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I want you to think about that impossible thing in your life. It's a relationship. Most of our impossible things are a lost loved one, a daughter, a son, a father, or a mother that is close to eternity, one step away from burning in hell forever. I want to ask you, is there anything too hard for the Lord? I want to ask you, do you remember Manasseh in the Old Testament? One of the wickedest kings in Israel's history. And God granted him repentance and faith and eternal life. And it says in 2 Chronicles 33:13, Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. I want you to think about Nebuchadnezzar of old and how God humbled such a great and mighty king. I want you to think about Saul of Tarsus, who seemed to be embedded in false religion that looked so close to the truth. God can do anything. What is impossible for man is possible with God. And maybe you're here this morning and you're lost and you know it. You're playing the game. You're playing with Christ and you have no idea what you're dealing with. Don't you understand? He's your creator. Don't you understand he is a lion? And that one day in flaming fire, he will take vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Won't you cry out to God even now? Open my eyes, O Lord, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Won't you cry out to the only one that can crack that cold and hard heart of yours? Won't you once and for all stop running, stop hiding, and come under the subjection of the almighty power of God and be born again? Do you know, saints of God, that every person that we reach with the gospel is an impossible person? If you don't remember what God can do, would you just look in the mirror? Would you just take a few minutes and peruse your broken and stubborn life and all the rebellion that you've participated in? Listen, those people that had the gospel preached to them by the apostles who crucified the Lord of glory, those were the same people that God converted at Pentecost. And they changed the world. They turned the world upside down. And we are called to reach the same impossible people. I love what Mike read for the call to worship this morning. I've fought the fight. I've run the race. I have finished my course. Someone once said, the test of your character is what it takes to stop you. What is it that's going to stop you? Well, I'll tell you, you get under the almighty power of God, no one and nothing can stop his hand. You see, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Christ is mighty to save. He's mighty to sanctify us. He's mighty to conform us to his image. And we have no power in ourselves to help the lost. Don't you know that those who are without Christ are blinded by the god of this world, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them? Don't you know, as 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly, they are foolishness, nonsense to him. For he's not able to understand them, for they are discerned by the Spirit. They are spiritually discerned. Saints, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Dear brothers and sisters, the apostles had no power in and of themselves. Yes, they raised the dead. Yes, they cleansed the lepers. Yes, they healed the sick. Yes, they expelled demons. But they did it in the power of God. And if we want fruit, God must be involved. God must conquer the human heart with unfathomable power from on high. A.W. Tozer said this. Salvation, he says, it is true. Salvation from our side is a choice, but make no mistake. From the divine side, it is a seizing upon and apprehending a conquest by the Most High God. I think that is exactly what we need to have our focus on. We must have the power of God if we're going to bear fruit. Not by might, Zechariah said, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. John said that we must be born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We must continue not only in power, but in confidence in God if we're going to bear fruit. That's our fifth point. Look at verse 8. He says in verses 8 through 10, he discusses really our confidence. He says, look at the last part of verse 8. You received without paying. Give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. Wait a minute. This doesn't fit with our American Western Hemisphere ministry model. We need money. We need bricks. We need electricity. We need TVs. We need power. We need sound. We need the internet. We need Vimeo. We need YouTube. Wait a minute. This doesn't fit. The Bible clearly says that the only thing that we need is Jesus Christ. All of these things around us can be a help, but they can also be a great distraction. Philippians 3:3 says that we are to put no confidence in the flesh. It's nice that we put a new coat of paint on the walls. And I'm thankful for the ladies who are in the decorating committee and who have put so much time. I praise God for the sound booth people and the video people. But if all of that crumbled, that might be a good thing. The Church of Jesus Christ is not hindered in any way because it's not built on any of these things. Our confidence is not in our money bag. Our confidence is in the power of the gospel. And look at what he says. You have received without paying. Give without pay. Everything that you've gotten, you didn't pay for it. You didn't pay for the power to raise the dead and heal the sick. And so freely give. You've received freely. You're not to take anything. You should not ask for anything for preaching the gospel. Now, he's going to say later that the laborer is worthy of his food. He's worthy of his hire. And that's clear in the New Testament. We're not to put a price on the gospel ministry. We're to depend on the Lord. We're to have all confidence in the Lord. When I came from Spain to the United States to pastor, I was so humbled that I would be called to be a pastor. And we did not talk about funds. That wasn't my motivation. And it ought not to be any minister of the gospel's motivation. God has provided. When I was on deputation, I would work a job for 40 hours in 4 days, and I would get off on Friday. I would travel on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, and I'd get back to work very early on Monday morning. And sometimes we would travel long distances, and sometimes we wouldn't get a love offering. And sometimes we would get a $10,000 love offering. And we never knew where it was coming from. It was a life of faith. Listen, we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. When there's a little too much month left after the end of the paycheck, God is still on the throne. And he doesn't need money. Listen, the gold and the silver and the cattle on 1,000 hills are all his. And he'll provide for all of your needs according to his riches by Christ Jesus. Amen? And Peter, the great shepherd on earth, he was a shepherd among shepherds. He writes in 1 Peter chapter 5. And verse 2 to the shepherds and warns them about wrong motivations for ministry. He says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. The preacher of the gospel is not to sell himself. You know what the big thing today is? Branding. Everybody wants to brand their ministry, their church. We're the up-and-coming church. We're the cool church. You know what that is? Wood, hay, and stubble. It's confidence in man. And the Bible tells us not to have any confidence in man. Psalm 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Or Jeremiah 17:5, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. In some areas of quote-unquote Christianity, some have taken a vow of poverty. That's not what this is talking about, because he clearly says the laborer is worthy of his food. God will provide for all of your needs. You're not to put a price on your services. Let God provide for you. In fact, it says in 1 Timothy 5:17, if you'll turn there, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Look at verse 18. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. Missionary Hudson Taylor, the great church planting missionary to China, said, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And so money will not bring people to eternal life. We need the power of God. Human means can only build a temporary kingdom built on sand. God forbid that any one of us do that. If we want eternal fruit, we must be sure that people are born again into the kingdom. We must not trust in man or money. We must trust in God alone. Finally, the real mark of fruitfulness is actual fruit. Some plant, some water, but Living Hope Bible Church, our schemes, our abilities, our giftings, no. But God gives the increase. The mercy of God, the love of God poured out in our hearts. How do you do that? Give me the formula. Where's the book? What page is it on? What's the author's name? What's the commentary said? It's not in any of that. It's in heaven, where God rules and reigns, and he touches earth divinely. Are we experiencing that? We have our doctrine together. We love one another. Are we seeing the power of God flowing through us? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have all your doctrine straight, if you have the best building, if you have, you're a member of the right denomination, if you have love one for another, true fruit comes from God alone. And we read in verses 11 through 15 a great encouragement and a great warning. And he talks about the people who receive the word and the message and who reject the word. And he ends up with a warning about those who have far more light than those in Sodom and Gomorrah, and will have a far greater accountability. And so he begins in verse 11 by saying, whatever town or village you enter, find one who is worthy in it, and stay there until you depart. Do you know what you have to do in order to see true fruit from God on high? You must get up, and you must go. They're not going to pop out of your computer screen or your television set. They're not going to pop out of the book you're reading. They're not going to pop out of your children. Now, your children need to be reached, but you need to get beyond the walls of where you're comfortable and go into the towns and the villages all over the place. Yesterday, just in a one-hour span, we talked with a Muslim teacher and his wife. He's taught the Quran for 40 years, and I've invited him to lunch. Do you believe that God can save him and his wife? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Right next to him, there was a guy who was smoking crack or meth. I couldn't decide which one it was. I've never done it. But it was a chemical. And I told him life is a vapor, and he said, I love vapors. He was out there, maybe possessed. Who knows? I don't know. I do know this. He needs Christ. And he's not going to get it from the television. Nobody in this world, no lost person is going to share the gospel. They will not hear without a preacher. Who will take it to them? Will you? I weep at our comfort. I weep at our lackadaisical mindset. We are lukewarm. We are the saints in the Laodicean church. We can't even see that the world is on fire and going to hell. Oh, that God would awaken us. Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. The point is that there is an eternal consequence to the message that is preached. He says, whatever town you go into, whatever village, find someone who is worthy, someone who is tender, someone who's willing to listen. We found several who were willing to listen yesterday. What a joy it was. He says, stay there until you depart. And as you enter the house, greet it. And look back in Matthew 10 and verse 13. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. The idea of worthy is not that of wealthy or influential, but as I said, it has to do with spiritual openness, a serious response from the host, whatever city or village that they were in. There always, when the gospel is preached correctly, is a strong response. Unless you get that strong response, you're not likely preaching the gospel clearly. Wherever Paul went, there was either rioting or rejoicing. We saw some rioting yesterday. If we didn't have laws in this country, I think that we might be a little black and blue in our face. And so they were to enter in and they were to greet the house. And if it was worthy, they were to greet it with a shalom. Peace be unto you. And peace doesn't mean simply the absence of war. It means wholeness, fullness, well-being. You see, the amazing truth is this, that we, in the stead of the apostles and in the stead of Christ, are ministers of the new covenant. And we are called to be ministers of reconciliation. God has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:19. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. And God is doing something amazing through us. Verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5, God is making his appeal through us. And as we go around imploring people on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And God saves them and brings them into his kingdom. And so we greet them in peace in the ministry of reconciliation. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world through him might be saved. He came to bring peace. But there are those who will not hear the message. And according to this warning in verse 14, there are some who will reject the message. Look again in Matthew 10, 14. If anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet, from when you leave that house or town. Truly I say unto you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for that land, for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah, than for that town. You see, rejection is going to come. If you want to bear fruit, you're going to experience adversity. Someone said the fruit of the Spirit grows in the womb of adversity. You're going to experience rejection. You're going to experience satanic attack. You will make mistakes. You will be rejected. You will be crushed. But those things must not stop you. There will be times when you feel the rejection. But as God said to Samuel, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me. You see, when you feel the rejection of the lost, when you give them the gospel, they're not rejecting you. Don't take it personally. We often say, have thick skin and a big heart. Don't ever stop loving people, no matter what happens. Don't ever stop loving people. We look at Paul's example. He would go to a city if they didn't hear. Acts 13:51, it says, Paul and Barnabas literally shook off the dust of their feet in protest against those that were in Pisidia of Antioch. And then they went to Iconium. We have to have our eyes on the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And if we get to nursing our wounds and having a pity party, we'll never see the kingdom of God expand. Listen, we are expendable. Are we not, saints? But there's a warning here. He says in verse 15, truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for the town that rejects the gospel of the kingdom. Now understand, when it says more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah, it's talking about the fact that they had less light than we have. To whom much is given, much will be required. And God utterly destroyed those two ancient cities with brimstone and fire because of their wickedness. And you can read about it in Genesis 19. And today there's no trace of them that has yet been found by archaeologists. But yet men and women are contemptuous of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. And they will enter a far worse fate than Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment. Now, if you agree with that, and you realize that Sodom and Gomorrah had no Bible, and you see what's laying in your lap, understand that we, saints, we are responsible. We have the keys to the kingdom. We have the words of eternal life. And the only possible response to this message, if you're lost, humble yourself and come to Christ today. If you're saved, renew your love for Christ, your compassion for people. Listen to the call and leave your comfort zone and go and bear true fruit. Now, brothers and sisters, we're going to suffer. We're going to be rejected. Adversity will come. And it's going to take time. Some plants, some water. God gives the increase. Once, I'll close with this. Once when we lived in Spain, my daughters were watching me take out the rocks from our front yard because there was no grass. And so I was stacking rocks. And then we got some soil and we put it down. And then we got some seed and we put it down. We watered and we put some more soil and some straw on top of it. And we watered it and we watered it. And just a few minutes later, the kids came out and they said, Daddy, where's the grass? I know you want to bear true fruit for the kingdom, but it's not instantaneous. We plant, we water, but God gives the increase. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Let's stand together. Father, we come to you as little children, knowing nothing, only wanting to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We thank you that you have called us. You've not called the wise. You've not called the mighty. You've called the weak, the beggarly. You've called the foolish. And we ask, O God, that you would extend your hand of mercy to us. We claim all of the riches that we already have in Jesus Christ. We stand in that standing purchased by his blood. We are heirs of you and joint heirs with your Son, Father. And we ask, with all the resurrection power that we have in the Holy Spirit, that you would empower us. We pray for holiness, humility, childlike faith. Lord, I think of the words of Isaiah that says that Isaiah 26 and verse 3, that those who think on you, who depend on you, have that perfect peace, Lord. And we ask that you would bring that peace, that holiness, that joy of walking with you to this congregation in a way perhaps that is more mature than we've ever experienced before. We're asking, Lord, for marriages that seem to go in the fleshly route. Lord, we're asking right now that through your word and through death and crucifixion to self and through obedience, you would transform our marriages. The single people here who fight with the world in a different way, that you would preserve their holiness, that you would sanctify them. Lord, we are praying for our young people who do not know you, that they would be born again, even today, even right now, that they would go and talk at the end of this service with Mike and Cindy Klickus at the back of the church, and that they would say, "I need to be born again," and that they would follow you. Father, would you take some trophies today for heaven? Would you win some people from the pit of hell and put them in your kingdom? And would you take us and use us as your instruments for your fruit? Bear your fruit through us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.